بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سيداش عارف عارف بالله حضرت اقدس حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور الله مرقده The title is سکون دل در مجلس اہل دل سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جی ڈر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جا نو دل سناؤں کسے میں زخم جی کر دکھاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جان دل سناؤں کسے میں زخم جگر ٹکاؤں یہ دنیا وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے یہ دنیا والے تو بے وفا ہے وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جی ڈر بھی جاؤں یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر غلام کا بھی غلام بن کر میں اپنی قیمت کو کیوں گٹاؤں غلام کا بھی غلام بن کر میں اپنی قیمت کو کیوں گٹاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جی ڈر بھی جاؤں یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ گل سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ گل سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا مگر نشے من جو عارضی ہو تو اس کو مسکن کیوں بناؤں مگر نشے من جو عارضی ہو میں اس کو مسکن
تو اس کو میں سیکن میں کیوں بناؤں، سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب، جی ڈر بھی جاؤں مجھے تو اختر سکون دل گر ملا تو بس اہل دل کے دل پر، مجھے تو خطر سکون دل گر ملا تو بس اہل دل کے دل پر، تو ان کے در کو میں اپنا مسکن سمی میں دل سے نہ کیوں بناؤں، تو ان کے گھر کو میں اپنا مسکن سمی میں دل سے نہ کیوں بناؤں، سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب، چیڈن بھی جاؤں یہ دنیا والے تو بے وفا ہے، وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے، پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں، سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب، جی ڈر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جا نہ دل سناؤں، کسی میں زخم جیگر بھی ٹکاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹکانا نہیں ہے یا رب، جیگر بھی جاؤں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. Friends, these are the ashar of our illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Zamana Tabriz Dora. Wallahi, what love he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what did we know what is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Hazrat Wala rahmatullah alayhi never came to our shores. We never knew that there was a thing like a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything was just routine. Now it's time for Fajr, I must go for Fajr. Now it's time for Dhuhr, I must do this. Now I must go 3 days a month. I must do my kitab reading daily. I must go for Gashta. I must come to the Khanka once a week. I must come once a month. Whatever, it was just routine. But when Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi came and he spoke about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how this fire spread throughout the country and throughout the world. They spent their lives, they made qurbani, and they worked in this field. And really that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that kunu ma'as sadiqeen, stay in the company of the sadiqeen, those who are sadiq fit taqwa. Why? Until you become like them. Who are those people that when you see them, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they speak, you benefit. When they speak, it just reminds you of akhirat. It reminds you of the purpose of life. That why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us here. Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi has entitled this poem, that sukoon adil dar majlis ahlid. That real contentment of heart, it's at the threshold, at the foothold of the people who have got hearts. And biologically, as we learn here, we all have hearts. We are all men. We are all human beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people who are real men. That they gave everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then relationships and friendships and business, nothing meant anything to them and came to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the be-all and the sum total of everything of their life, was the object of their life. Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says in the first couplet, ye siwaye tere koi thikana nahi hai ya rab, jidhar bhi jao know Allah, besides you, there is no place of solace for me. There is no place where I can take, where I can find contentment. Jidhar bhi jau, whatever I do, whether I'm looking for contentment of heart in sports or whatever the case may be, in my business, in my political field, in the business arena, whatever, wherever I go, I'm looking for, but it's not there. I don't find it. I find that I'm restless. There's something missing. And that is true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allah, let's take heed, open up your ears, listen attentively. I'm telling you, Allah, bizikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that in the love, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearts will find contentment. So wherever we go, we are not going to find contentment except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept contentment, that is where we're going to find it. Anywhere else we're going to look for it, then we're never ever going to find it. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was entering Baytul Maqdis and was asked to change his clothes, and then he said that we are a nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us glory because of the deen of Islam. And if we look for it anywhere else, Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will degrade us, will humiliate us, will disgrace us. Similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the contentment of heart in His remembrance and in proximity to Him at the threshold and the foothold of the Ahlullah, then we cannot find it anywhere else. Zarwallah rahmatullahi alayhi says, Kise gham mein jaan wajil sunao, kise mein zakh mein jigar dikao, that who can I tell this real treasure, this which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into my heart, this pain of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the pain of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then when it comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whatever it may mean, I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May jahabi rahu, jis fida me rahu, taqwa mera salamat, that oh Allah, wherever I be, in whichever condition I may be, whether I'm in the airways, whether I'm on the byways, on the highways, whether I'm on the ships, on the cruise, wherever I may be, oh Allah, my taqwa must remain intact. I must not do anything that will displease you, anything that will make you unhappy. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, ye dunya wale to bewafa hai, wafa ki qeemat se bekhabar hai, that all the people of the world, wherever I go, they don't know what is the value of loyalty. And we know if any country, if a person is not loyal to the country, what is the punishment? The punishment will be death, hanging, or to be shot, whatever the case may be, but it will be death. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb, and we say it in every rakat of salah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, shouldn't we be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then now, wherever we are going, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for solace, looking for contentment of heart, now bungee jumping and hot air ballooning and parachuting and all these things, looking for contentment, now let me try this, we'll never find contentment of heart. People of the world, different arenas, different spheres, they don't know what is loyalty. They don't know what is the value of being loyal to anybody. Phir unko dil dekar, zindagi ko jafa se aahun kyun banao? Now when they don't know what is the value of loyalty, and they don't know what it means to be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being who gave us our life, who gave us our existence out of nothing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a huge jannah for us, and Allah's pleasure is in it that we go back to that jannah that He has actually created for us, then why should I give my heart to somebody else? And dil dena ho to usi ko do jisne tujhe dil diya. That being who gave you that heart, give the heart to Him. Why give it to somebody else? You trust in this person, you trust in that person, this person is a wealthy person, he'll help me, this person's got influence, he'll solve my case, I've got a court case, that person has got contacts there. Why must I give my heart over to them? Why mustn't I rather give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the being who created the heart, the being who gave me that heart? Let me fill that heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I decrease, why should I make my value less? Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi in one couplet said that, what is my value? My actual value is my connection with Medina Sharif, with the king of both the worlds, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following in his sunnah, that is my true value. Now when I'm going to go other ways, I'm going to give up this, why should I make the value of myself, why should I lower my value, the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in us, and that is being connected to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah says very beautifully, ye budh jo muhtaj hai sarapa, gulam unka banu to kyun kar, that all the people of this world, whatever influence they may have, whatever position they may have, whoever they may be, whatever Allah has blessed them with as far as dunya goes, ye muhtaj hai sarapa. In every aspect, they are in need. If a person's urine gets closed, he cannot pass urine, whether he's a king or whether he's a slave, whoever it may be, they are in need. Now he must go to a doctor, now he must get hakim, now he must do medicine, whatever the case may be. He himself is in need. Then why must I go and throw myself at their feet? Why shouldn't I rather go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why shouldn't I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ulam unka banuta kyukar. Give me some reason. Kyukar, why should I be? Logically, just think. Does it make sense that I must become a servant, I must become subservient to somebody who in himself is in need? Rather, I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's threshold, who is not in need. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give and give, and his treasure will not be depleted even to the extent of a needle being dipped in the ocean. So why should I then lower myself and lessen my qeemat, my value? Further, Hazrat says, Ghulam ka bhi, ghulam bankar, main apni qeemat ko kyun ghatau? That they are servants, they are ordinary mortals, they are, whether it was Fir'aun, what pomp and what glory didn't he have? Whether it was Namrud, whether it was Qarun, what didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them as far as the dunya went? But when time came, then they were unsuccessful. So you see, success is not there. Why should I become a servant? Why should I give my life over? Why should I sacrifice everything to a person who himself is mortal, who himself is temporary? The only being who is from ever, is azali, is abadi, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From ever, forever. Why shouldn't I become his servant? Why shouldn't I throw myself at his threshold? Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah says, ye mana humne chaman mein khush rang gul se bulbul hai mast sada. I have accepted that the glitter and the glamour, Colonel Amiruddin Sahib rahmatullah used to say, the glitter and the glamour of the American dollar. That's what the glitter and the glamour, the lights of this world, all the different things and the fancies, the things of beauty, the ornaments. I accept that there's a lot of things to distract a person. But the nightingale in that garden, now it's on this flower, now it's on that flower, now it's going here, now it's seeing this tree, now it's seeing that tree. All the different things, and now this type of motor car, and that type of private jet, and this type of ship, and this type of business, and so many factories, and whatever the case may be. This bulbul, this nightingale is busy in this garden with all these things. This human being lost his purpose. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that we created you without any purpose in tomfoolery? There is an object why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us here. So we accept that there are many things of glitter and glamour and beauty in this world. But magar nashayman jo arzi ho, to usko maskan mein kyun banao? Something that is temporary, this nest that this nightingale has built in the garden, where it's taking rest, it is something temporary. Like Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi, when was questioned by that pious saintly person, that before you, who was here? He said, my father. And before him, my grandfather. After you, who will be here? Who will be the king? My son. And after him, who? My grandson. And this way it will come. He said, then this is a hotel. This is an inn. This is a place of transit. You are traveling. You've gone somewhere. You stay at a place just where you're going to get your connecting flight or your next bus. Or then it's just temporary for a little while. Like that we're coming to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example is like that of a traveler who took rest under the shade of a tree. After that he got up, got onto his conveyance, and he carried on. Like that we are in this world, we are on a journey, we are going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nest and this world, the beauty of this world, there's something that is temporary. Why should I take support from it? Why should I give my life to it? Give me some reason. Kyukar. In every couple they say, banuto kyukar. Why? You. Just give me a reason. Logically, just sit down and ponder for a minute. Every couple is saying, Q. For what? Why? Can't we think? This is our success, where it is, and where we are headed. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi says, Mujhe to akhtar sukoon e dil gar, mila to bas ahle dil ke dar par. That akhtar, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi is using his own name, but advice for everybody. That if I have found solace, peace, serenity, peace of mind, contentment of heart, then I found it at the foot of the pious people, of the Ahlullah, of the people of Taqwa. So why shouldn't I then, as Allah says in the final line, to unke dar ko me apna maskan samime dil se na kyu banao? Again, kyu? Just sit back and think that if this is where I find contentment of heart, and this is where I'm finding peace, and this is where I'm realizing the object of my life, and this is where I'm finding the focus of my life, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me, then why shouldn't I make it my foothold? Why shouldn't I become really steadfast in it from the bottom of my heart, from the crevices of my heart? Just think, kyun na, why shouldn't I do that? Logically, you'll think that the object of life, when a person has got a goal in front of him, wherever he can achieve that goal, wherever he can fulfill the purpose which he is longing for, his wish, his desire, that is what is going to appeal to him. So when this is the object of my life, that peace of mind, contentment of heart, ta'alluq at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where I find it, then why shouldn't I make it my foothold, the place where I will always be punctual, and from where I will take benefit from the crevices of my heart? Why shouldn't I make it? So Allah bless me with the necessary first, everybody else.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد من كتاب حياة المسلمين أفمرنا أشهد علي تامي رحمة الله عليه The solution for the problems afflicting the Ummah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم The 10th chapter was on Right of oneself That we everyone has got certain rights upon himself إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا Your nafs also has got a right upon you So Hazrat mentioned before this year that one is preparation A person must remain healthy A person must be careful of his food what he is eating he must look after his health also, try to have peace of mind. All of these things were Hazrat mentioned. Coming near the end of this chapter, Hazrat Amr ibn Shu'ayb radiallahu anhu narrates on the authority of his father the following hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One traveler is a shaitan, two travelers are two shaitans, while three travelers constitute a caravan. The criticism of one or two people undertaking a journey applies to times of danger. Three being a fair group obtained the description of caravan from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By labeling one or two travelers as devils, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged travel by single persons and even two people, since they may not be able to adequately protect themselves along the journey during times of danger. Thus we rely on this hadith that it is essential to make preparations for our protection and defense. In one hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Sa'alama radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a traveling group breaking up and scattering at a place where the group halts on a journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributed such scattering and wandering about to be to the shaitan. Traveling companions should remain together so that they may aid one another if some difficulty, calamity or emergency overtakes them. Abu Dawood. This hadith too stresses the need for arranging one's protection and taking precaution against sudden calamities. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one man, take along your weapons. I fear the Bani Qurayza, who are the Jews and the enemies of the Muslims, I fear for them. This man then went home and he brought along his weapons, Muslim. Note, in times of danger, arming oneself in a lawful manner is stated in this hadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates, on the day battle of Badr, three people sat on a camel, because the Muslims had left. Abu Lubaba and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu were Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's partners on a camel. When it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's turn to walk, both these companions insisted that they would walk on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he should remain on the back of the camel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, you are not stronger than me. I depend on sawab as you do. From this hadith we realize that one should not be accustomed to too much of comfort. One has to be prepared for all emergencies. Similarly, one hadith, Hazrat Fudala ibn Ubaidah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from becoming accustomed to too much comfort, and he would order us sometimes to walk barefooted. Abu Dawood. Again, too much comfort has been spoken ill against. Muslims have to be alert and prepared at all times. Hazrat Huzaifah radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not proper for a believer to disgrace himself. It was asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is meant by this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, to undertake something which you cannot bear. Note, to assume a task beyond one's capability is not proper for a believer. The consequence will be failure, disgrace, worry and shame. Frustration will then overtake one. This hadith covers all such acts and tasks which are beyond one's power. In all cases of difficulty and hardship, adopt sabr and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for aid. The foregoing discussion establishes clearly that health, strength and peace of mind are desirable ends to be pursued. All such acts which interfere with the attainment of these ends are detestable. So a person must look after his health, his strength and peace of mind. Such impediments are at times totally prohibited, and sometimes they are makruh, reprehensible. Sometimes these laudable aims, one's health, strength and peace are wrecked, not by any voluntary action by man himself, but by an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is written in Taqdeer, a person loses his health, his peace of mind is taken away. In such cases of hardship, sabr has to be adopted. Sawab accrues in the wake of these divinely imposed hardships. When these conditions come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person gets rewarded. While at the same time, divine aid is granted to enable one to withstand the difficulties and hardships. So a person has got ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help and protect the person in such times. So even if he goes through sickness, he goes through some calamity, difficulty, poverty, Allah's help is with that person. In this way, frustration and despondency do not settle over the person. Such divinely imposed hardships occur to all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam and the awliya kiram. The Quran and Hadith are filled with such episodes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us to understanding.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى وجاء في حديث جبريل عن عمر بن الخطاب قال ما الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We shouldn't forget that whenever we hear the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to read Durood Sharif, to read Salawat on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it is the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his titles Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as much as we can, we should try and read Salawat Durood. Hazrat Maulana Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said that this hadith of Jibreel and that part of it, Tamal Ihsan, what is Ihsan? An ta'abud Allah kannaka tarahu. That we worship Allah as though you are seeing Allah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. For if you are not seeing him, he is definitely seeing you. So this, Hazrat explains, is the basis of tasawwuf. What is the object and purpose of tasawwuf? So we will just discuss a little bit to see that as we are going along, time, we are progressing in time. But are we progressing? Are we going towards this objective? That are we achieving this ma'iyat of Allah, this consciousness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is with me, Allah ta'ala is watching me. So we should see whether we are progressing. As time is going, we are going to our maut. Maut is coming. Every moment that is passing, we are going closer to our maut. So are we reaching our destination, or are we off the mark? Because at the time of maut, at that time, if unfortunately we are off the mark, if a pilot has got his plane to land and he's got his 1 degree off his place where he has to land the plane, he land the plane in the sea, in a mountain, in a residential area. So if we are also off the mark, then at the time of maut, where will we be? Will be in our direction or will be off the direction? So we have to see, are we really with time progressing? Are we progressing? And what direction? Are we on the mark? Are we off the mark? Are we going off? Where are we going? So there are a few things that we have to check ourselves. First, we'll just share a few material dunya's examples by which it will be easier for us, inshallah, to understand our spirituality, our reaching Allah from the aspect of deen. For example, which is common, a person gets married, then a person goes out of his way for his wife. He will do so much for her. For example, when she has to come and sit in the car, he'll open the door also for her. He will put her dress also right. He will close the door. He'll ask her, are you comfortable? Everything all right. But I put the aircon on everything. And it's a long story, but very short, after a little while, now he's just hooting for her. Now he's no more opening the door and all that. And Allah save us all, some people to the extent that she's not coming out, they leave the wife. She must find her way. She must see afterwards how they gone off the mark. In which direction are we gone? Now, so in this, in many other things also, first we are very, very considerate. So we consider our own selves. I myself, each one of us, that when we got married, how we were, and today, are we coming closer to one another? Are we understanding more one another? Are we forgiving one another more? Or are we finding fault more? Are we fighting with one another more? All the time, is our life becoming a pleasure or is it becoming a displeasure with our spouses? How are we treating one another? The same thing from the wife's side also. At the beginning, how obedient she is, how humble she is, but afterwards, how bossy she becomes and how she sort of rules the husband also. So from both sides, we should see which direction are we going. And though that is a material example by which we can understand, but it is our deen also. That in our deen also, we must be looking after our spouses, or the commands of Allah Ta'ala, we must be adhering to them, we must be able to forgive, accommodate, and understand one another. So we should see in which direction we are going. From that well, we can well understand that our lives, are they becoming a pleasure as we are progressing, or what is becoming of our lives? Another example, for example, of our material things, dunya things which we can understand, when a person learns to drive, and especially if he learns from a driving school, they will be very particular on every aspect. And when he goes finally for his driving test, he will be so particular. If the inspector takes him through a 40 zone, he will make sure he's at 35. He doesn't come anywhere near 40 also. Anywhere else, everything, every red light, he will watch it properly. Every stop street, he will watch properly. Everything. But then as he progresses as a driver, later, then what becomes of our driving? How do we drive? Do we observe speed limits? Do we watch the traffic signs? Are we overtaking on blind rises, on solid lines? So which direction? And if a person is becoming a reckless driver, we can also well imagine he won't only kill himself, he'll kill other people also. Eh? And in any case, such a driver, with his wife sitting next to him, her heart is in her throat all the time. When we are driving like that, she's holding the seat all the time. She stands and she's stiff all the time. So in which direction are we going? So we can well understand that also. So this is just some material examples which do affect our deen also. But in our deen we should see one particular thing, our whole deen we should see. But one aspect of our deen, we are making our namazes. Hopefully, inshallah, all of us are making our five times namaz. In that also we should see, am I making my five times namaz or not? Am I making it on time or not? Am I making it with jamaat or not? Jamaat, where according to the conditions laid by Sharia, jamaat is wajib on a person. It's not optional. If the conditions are fulfilled, it is wajib to make namaz with jamaat. Am I making my namaz with jamaat? Jamaat really means aqimu salah, or iqamati salah, to perform namaz as the requirements of namaz. Not just that I made my namaz. That is not sufficient. My ustad Hafiz Sallu Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, should tell me often that it is not enough just that I made my namaz. But is my namaz acceptable? acceptance is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. But has it got the qualities of acceptance? So we should also see about Takbir-e-Ula. That is what is called Namaz-in-Iqamat-e-Salah. Are we regularly late for Namaz? We are masbooq, we are missing the first rakat, second rakat, and actually we should be that we make our sunnat-e-mu'akkada, where there are sunnat-e-mu'akkada before namaz. And in fact, even the others, like the sunnahs of asr, which are so important, are we making all those namazes? And are we just rushing through our namazes? Behind the imam, we do as the imam does. We have to, we're regulated there, but my own namazes, how am I making? So we should see, am I 1 degree off my mark? Otherwise, at the time of maut, what will be my condition? And on the other hand, if we are going in this direction, that we are just careless, and we become reckless about our namaz. It comes to a state also that a person is making namaz, 40 years he's making, 50 years. But because kayfiyat ihsani is not there, the presence of Allah Ta'ala, I'm making namaz for Allah, I have to reach Allah Ta'ala. We see we are going off the mark. And then we make namaz, perhaps it is like after so long with communication with Allah Ta'ala. But now we become like old pals with Allah, like old friends. We just recklessly, we just lift our hands, just fasten them, also recklessly, not properly. We know that thought also is not there of Allah Ta'ala. So we are like off the mark. Our namaz, as we are going along, we should be coming closer, more Allah's consciousness. And not only that, but more the marifat of Allah. The recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Our adhan starts with Allahu Akbar, ends with Allahu Akbar. Our namaz is with Allahu Akbar, and almost every change in our posture is with Allahu Akbar. So is the greatness of Allah, is it coming even a little bit? Or is it just like Allah is just like my old friend, like with old friends, like in the family with the family over the years when we are not conscious, it's quite in order, we become quite familiar, and then it mustn't go to the extent that we say things which we don't realize we are hurting the person. We become so close and so like just a relationship, we just blurt out anything, anytime. Though of course we're not going to be so formal like in the with the family, but at the same time, if we had missed the point, then we just say anything and we don't know how much we are hurting the feelings of one another. The more we might be thinking I'm trying to please the person, but we are not conscious. So with Allah Ta'ala also and in namaz, are we taking Allah Ta'ala like an old friend, and now we are becoming like unconscious of our namaz, who we are making namaz for. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, his house, and what is a house, not what we think of a house, just that room of his, little room, it was right adjacent, joined with the masjid. And in his old age, when he should have to go to the masjid, which was right joined with the masjid, he should have to sit down 3-4 times, he should become exhausted, become tired. But when he should make his nafal namaz, faraz is faraz, nafal, he should stand and make it. When his attendants, his close khadims, etc., insisted, Hazrat, you are so old now, you are so weak, sit and make namaz. He says, I feel shy, that I'm standing in front of Allah. Like if some big person comes, we are sitting down, and he comes and meet us, and we just sit and we just give our hand. And that also, we just like give one hand, and also without any interest. How will that person also feel? This we are standing, if that consciousness is coming in us, I'm standing in front of Allah. Then it will make it easy for a person to stand in front of Allah. Rozai Mubarak, when we stand there, if a person sits like carelessly, without any reason, he's not helpless, and he sits and reads, we stand and read salam at Rozai Mubarak in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that respect. So my namaz, is it like that or not? Or am I just like making my namaz carelessly? We find that some of us, when we are not conscious, For example, nafal namaz, we'll perhaps sit on a chair, and that also sit like we are sitting in the couch in our room, like sort of relaxed. Actually, many places, they people who are conscious won't sit on a chair. They will sit on a stool without a backrest. Because it's quite easy when you sit on a chair, which has got a backrest, then you sort of take support of it, which you don't need if you haven't got a back problem. And then you are just sitting and you are like resting. And it happens also that perhaps now your legs also are like stretched out. And that if the consciousness of Allah was there, then that whole posture will be different. When we are standing in front of Allah Ta'ala also, like lifting the hands, like you just lift it a little bit and you fasten. Whereas the proper, therefore, we should learn the outward postures of namaz to do them properly, to have this consciousness in front of whom are we making namaz. So our namaz also, everything when we go in ruku, sajda, everything, are we just rushing through it? Or is that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, is it coming within us? So this is what is progress. Our spiritual, our islah, and our coming to the khanqa is not just our presence, we know. It isn't just that we go in there 1 hour program, but it is all this. And then each individual, we have to check ourselves that by plane that I'm landing, where is it going? For example also, which is also very common when we stand in namaz. Our legs must be how much apart? 4 fingers. So check it when we're making namaz. And also, which direction must they be? To the Qibla. So when we start our namaz, check up. Look down, we are going very high. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Namaz is the mi'raj. Really it is. It's not a hadith, but it is the mi'raj of a mu'min. But, like for example, we know in banks, many other offices, for security, you have to go in that cubicle. 1 door and then another door. The other door, if your feet are not on the places where they are supposed to be, the other door won't open for you. So here also, if our feet are not on their place, and we have to take off to reach Allah Ta'ala, we won't take off. And it comes in the hadith, there are those people whose namaz don't even go 1 handspan above their head. Allah save us all. There are those people, it comes in the hadith, that namaz in the form of a dirty rag is thrown back at that person. And it gives him baddua, curses him, that as you destroyed me, the namaz, may Allah destroy you like that also. So it isn't a small thing. So and this namaz is the most thing. If namaz comes right, our whole deen will come right. Our deen will come right, our dunya will come right. Our deen and dunya will come right, our akhirat will be right. So namaz is very important. So we should see some of us, when we're standing, then we are it's 4 fingers apart, but we are 10 fingers apart. And our legs are facing east and west. We are not even, our legs are not facing towards Qibla also. If somebody has got an excuse, uzr, due to old age or anything else, that's a different thing. And we must always make husnizan of the next person. But of our own condition, we must make suizan about ourselves. That I'm lazy, I'm not doing it properly. But we're doing the opposite. We don't think about ourselves, what my condition is, and we are finding fault. If we are not even making ghibat with our tongue, but in our mind, that person's namaz is like this, this person is like this. We are always thinking of other people, but ourselves, when we are looking at our feet also, perhaps our eyes are more going at the person next to me. Whether his feet are 4 fingers apart, whether they are facing Qibla or not. But my own, I'm not worried about. So we should worry. And then all the postures of namaz, we should see that we are doing them properly. And we should take out time to learn this. When Alhamdulillah, Allah give tawfiq, many other ulama, people are doing it. But in Ramzan, when we are doing it on that one particular day, we should try and find out, make ourselves available for that one day. Or from any other alim, wherever we can. But we should try and learn our namaz, not only from kitabs, or not just as it has come, hereditary. but that we become conscious and we try and correct our namaz. So our whole deen is very, very necessary. And in the same way, our tilawat of Quran Sharif. A person is making 40, 50 years making Quran Sharif. But are we perhaps sitting on the bed with our back on the by the headboard, legs are stretched out, and today is also not a good thing, though ulama give permission, but we are reading from the phone. So we are just reading and like carelessly. We haven't, and this is Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, when a person reads Quran Sharif and he takes qasam, he has spoken to Allah. He is correct in his qasam. In other words, when we are reading Quran Sharif, we are speaking to Allah. So how much is that? And each one, I myself, all of us must be thinking, as we are progressing, it mustn't be that when we were in the maktab, Ustad impressed upon us that you must have wudu, you must be face qibla, and that we did. But as we went along, now we're becoming lax also. So that also we should see with our tilawat of Quran Sharif. Everything in our deeni matters, that the presence of Allah Ta'ala, we must be developing it all the time. So that we are going, and we are going closer to Allah. It must not happen that we are, time is moving, but we are going further from Allah. And we are doing our deeni things, but yet we are going further from Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So this is what is really progress in this way, that a person becomes conscious, our namazes we correct, our relationship with our spouses we correct, with the children, with our parents, with everyone, our neighbors, what's our relationship there? How much are we correcting it? Are we becoming conscious of our negligence in these matters? And namaz also is one thing. As a person, if he's improving his namaz, one of the natural effect is he will feel guilty of his past namazes. Do we feel guilty? My namaz of 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and my namaz of now, if I haven't progressed, I won't feel guilty of that. This is one of the reasons the ulama give, that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to make istighfar, tawbah istighfar. He was completely free of any wrong whatsoever in any way. But one of the explanations ulama give, that as Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam position was going higher and higher all the time, his previous condition, he should make tawbah and istighfar on that. So we also have to see a person who is progressing. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi writes, the signs of a person's progress is that if he's back, he's feeling guilty about it all the time. Even all our ibadat, we are feeling guilty. And with the relationship with the wife, for example, that I didn't treat her well, that we realize it now, how I should have been treating her, especially when we were young, we had lot of strength and power, and how I treated her, many of us, what words we blurted out, how we spoke, so that guilty conscience, is it there or not? So all this is a sign that we are progressing and going closer to Allah Ta'ala. So whether it's our namaz, whether it is our tilawat of Quran Sharif, whether it is our dhikr, that are we making dhikr also or not? Our Yasin Sharif, basic things. Am I regular with my Yasin? My surahs of the night, am I regular with them? Or just when I feel like I do it, and when I, for any reason, visitors came, for example, we were traveling, for example, there was a program, for example, is there some conscience about it, that I couldn't manage to complete it? The ideal thing is, whom Allah gives tawfiq, we really make sure we complete it. And mashallah, there are those people who will sacrifice their sleep, but they will complete what they have to. But if we don't, then at least we are shown things that we can compensate with it. But are we doing that? Do we feel that guilty conscience or not? So this is a sign that a person is progressing all the time. And that is not only necessary of the sign, but in reality we should be progressing. How long am I in the khanqah? How long am I bay'at?
Am I still just there? Oh, I became bad. And like many of our friends write also, that it's years now I didn't make any contact. But now I feel I must. And then also, unfortunately, it happens that one contact, and again after that, a person is gone flat. Doesn't really keep coming to the majlis. Are we coming regularly or not? Are we coming with that enthusiasm or not? And not for the majlis sake, but for my own sake. That for my progress to Allah, am I gaining more consciousness of Allah? Am I becoming more conscious of my responsibilities in every field? A person who is an ustad, for example, who is teaching, that how I taught before, that I feel guilty that I didn't fulfill the rights of those students. Now I become a bit more conscious, whether it is time-wise, whether it is how to, our affection for our students, that how, what affection? Do I just treat them like numbers, or do I treat them really as students of deen? As the guests of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that, I would do ask for them also. All this, that what is our condition, how are we progressing? So this is what really it is to be in the Khanqah actually. And just outwardly to be there, that is also a great ni'mat of Allah for these days. Just the outward form of namaz also. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi writes, no matter how corrupt our namaz is, how much not right our namaz is, but still it is better than not making namaz. So even just to be physically present is also a great ni'mat of Allah. Even if we're joining the jama'ah just for the last salam, is also a ni'mat from. But are we progressing? We can't just be there, and we can't be retrogressing. Are we going backwards? At one time, I was so regular with my namazes. I was so regular with all my amal. Am I going backwards or am I going forwards? So we have to see. So this all comes with the that we have أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that we make Allah's ibadah as though we are seeing Allah Ta'ala. And كَأَنَّكَ, as though, is very, very important here. Because nobody can see Allah but the consciousness of Allah. That who gave me the tawfiq of coming for namaz. And then also if we just meditate, make little bit muraqabah, that Ya Allah, you gave me tawfiq of namaz. You made namaz for us. What a great favor of yours. That we don't take it like it's a burden upon us. For that also we should say, are we just like rushing through our namaz? Today generally also many places, unfortunately, we just want namaz in awwal waqt. Many places. And whereas namaz should be on its proper time. And then also, just as soon as the time came in, adhan, just like we have to get it off our head. Like that enthusiasm is not there. We've got something else more important. Just push our namaz, na'uzubillah, so to say, out of the way, and we can carry on with our life. We are namazis. We've got that consciousness, but still we namaz something that we should have that enthusiasm, that we wait for it, we look forward to it. So is that coming in us or not? So we have to check ourselves on all these lines. If we move, just keep this in our mind, Allah, the presence of Allah, and the ma'iyat of Allah, that Allah's presence. And if we cannot see Allah Ta'ala, then at least have this yaqeen that I am being watched. Like a person is in a place, he can't see the camera, but he knows there's a camera. He is being watched there. How won't he be careful what he's doing? He's being watched all the time. So like that, if we can't see Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala is watching us. And Allah knows more than us what our intentions are. What is in our heart, why we are doing things, etc. Allah knows more than ourselves. So to become conscious of our deen, conscious of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, these are things that we should be moving towards. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, that we understand the purpose. We are all in need, desperately in need. Nobody of us can say, I'm not in need of this, I'm all right. We are in need of it, and this muzakarat will help us all the time. And it will bring this consciousness. So let it not just be that now it's finished, but try and revise the lesson. If we can, to go and discuss it at home with the family, discuss it with friends. If we do this a little bit, we will benefit tremendously. But if now we have just, we close the door, it's finished. We went to Majlis, we heard what had to be said and what we had to hear, and it's finished, it's over, then it won't really come into us. But if we really have that concern, then inshallah we will move more forward. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to acquire all these qualities and the real, and this is the purpose of life. Not only the purpose of tasawwuf and khanqa, but it is the purpose of life that we find Allah. Fortunate is that person, the earlier we find Allah, the better. Even just before mort we find Allah, alhamdulillah. But the earlier, not when I'm 50 and 60, not when I'm 30 and 40, even when I'm 15 and 20, and I find my Allah, how fortunate. And there are those youngsters also. And whoever, at whatever stage we find Allah, and that relationship with Allah, we build that living relationship with Allah Ta'ala, very fortunate is that person. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah.